Jesus said, "Watch and pray." And this was done when he was in the garden. And we're going to hear more about that in a little bit. And he also said, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Those were also Jesus' words. What is the definition of temptation? The enticement of a person to commit a sin is when the benefits of the act provide some kind of advantage, benefit, help, gain, reward, or affirmation. When a person gives in to temptation, they're gaining something. They're getting something more than what they are having now or in the past. They want something. Temptation, when we give into. Not all temptations are necessarily bad. People who are on a diet, they have a lot of temptations to eat when they don't think they should, or maybe they want to lose weight instead of gain weight, or whatever. Therefore, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Some of the things may be in a little slow motion this morning, so bear with me. There are several components to our message this morning, and the first part of this, I'm going to have the help from the three oldest Gustafson's boys. Caleb, come on up. And Gabriel, come on up. Get yourself a chair. And Joshua, come on up.
Sounds pretty good looking so far.
Good obedience, too. All right. Each of them is going to get a label. One of you boys will be labeled, just for the time being, Satan. Another one of you boys will be labeled, just for the time being, the world. And the third one will be labeled, just for the time being, the flesh. The flesh. Now, do any of you have a choice as to which you want to represent? Caleb? I'm not going to give you a choice. I think you've got a lot of strength, and I think you have a lot of knowledge, and I think you have a lot of insight. So I'm going to give you Satan, and I want you just to hold it up. Now I'm giving you a role to play. You will be de-rolled after we're finished.
Thank God.
All right. I'm going to give Joshua the flesh. Do you know what flesh is? Do you know what flesh is? What is flesh? Yeah. It's the skin and what's on and in your body. So you hold up this. And Gabriel, I'm going to give you the world. Oh, wow. The world. What is the world? You hold this up. And I'm going to say something about all of these, but first of all, I'm going to have you listen to Isaiah chapter 12, and it's going to be read by their father. It's going to be read by Tim Gustafson. So, Tim, would you stand and read this slowly, loudly, and clearly.
Isaiah chapter 14, 12 through 15.
This is talking about Satan. Listen to what it says.
How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit.
I'm sure this raises a lot of questions in your minds, not only today, but in out of your past. Why did God allow someone like Lucifer to be in heaven to begin with? We don't know the answer to that question. We can speculate. We can think maybe it was this reason or that reason, but we really don't know. Temptation comes from three sources. It comes from Satan, it comes from the world, and it comes from the flesh. The scripture describes Satan as the father of lies, the wicked one, a murderer. Are those bad things to do? Absolutely. The Greek word for Satan means destroyer. The Hebrew word name for Satan means destruction. The Greek, the Beelzebub, means the ruler of demons. Do any of you boys know what demons are? Caleb, what is a demon? An evil servant of Satan. Very good answer. Very good answer. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this age, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Jesus called Satan a liar. And he called him the father of the liars. The father of the liars. Gabriel, is your father a liar? Absolutely not. You're sure of that? I believe that's right also. Now, Jesus also called the devil. He said, you are of your father, and you desire to do what your father wants you to do. Now, another scripture verse we have is, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. I understand you boys all wrestle. Do you all wrestle? Joshua, do you wrestle? Well, you're not as big as Caleb, and you're not as big as Gabriel. Can you wrestle? What do you need to wrestle? What? You need Jesus. Oh, do you always say, Jesus, help me to beat up on Caleb? Do you say that? No, I don't think you don't. Maybe some other boys do. Okay. You boys all put your signs down there on your chair, and I want you to stand up. Caleb, can you show us what one of your holds are? What's one of your holds? Okay. What do you call that hold? Huh? A what? I'm not hearing.
Collar tie.
Okay. All right. That's enough for that. Thank you. Stay standing. Now, I would like for you, Joshua, what can you do to Gabriel? Show me a wrestling technique that you can do. Do you know a wrestling technique? Do one. Do a wrestling technique. Very good. All right. Give him a hand. All right. Very good. Now, What is needed when you do wrestling? One of the things that you need, I'll have you hold a sign up. Okay, Gabriel, hold this sign up. Show it to everybody. Can you read that, Gabriel? Will you read that? Say it loud.
Strength, courage, muscles, power, might, and vigor.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now show them again what this says. Strength, courage, muscle power, might, vigor. Caleb, what is vigor? A what?
Aggressiveness.
Okay. All right. What must go along with the aggressiveness? I think it's the first one thing that's mentioned there. What does that say?
Strength.
Courage. Yeah. Okay. Now, you can give me that sign back. Now, what did this verse say? For we do not... What? We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. You guys are flesh and blood. We're fighting against Satan. You do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Okay. Say what that means in your own words, Caleb.
We don't wrestle in the world, but we wrestle in the world physically wrestle in the world, but we wrestle in the
spirit. We don't physical wrestle.
Yeah, but the principles and the thoughts.
Yeah, principalities and powers. We can't even see these principalities and powers. These are big words, I know. But we cannot see what all it is that we have to wrestle again. Okay, you boys, take your science again and sit down. I'm not quite through with you yet. Now, here's a verse from James 4:7. And Joshua, I'd like you to stand up and hold this so everybody can see it. Let everybody see that. Now turn it to so you can read it. Can you read that? Now say it real loud. Okay. All right. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What does resist mean? I want you three boys to stand up again. Leave your signs on the seat. What does resist mean? I want you to take Caleb's left hand and arm, and you take his right hand and arm, and hold it tight. And he's going to resist because he wants to get away from you. Alright. Alright, Caleb. You see if you can get away from... Oh, he got away from one? Hey. Keep at it. Okay, Caleb. Get loose. Okay, enough. Okay, sit down. Yeah, you guys get some good training from your dad, don't you? Yeah. The verse says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's very good. What does it mean to flee? Run away from. Yes. Anything else? Flee? If you're going to flee? Are you going to say something? Pardon?
Escape.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I want you boys to flee or escape from me. Leave your signs on the chair, and I want you to go back to your seats when I say go. Okay? When I say go, flee and escape. Back to your seats. You see, the Bible uses language which we all can understand in a way that may be simple or it may be complicated. Either way. Okay. Now, let's continue on here with how do you deal with temptation? These are questions. I want you to just contemplate these for a short time. When are you most inclined to give in to a temptation? Is giving in to temptation always a sin? Do you yield to temptations more when you are alone or with others? Were you tempted more by Satan, the world, or the flesh? How do thoughts influence you? What scriptures do you rely on when you feel tempted? Remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he used scripture verses to refute Satan. Philippians 4:13. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. What does that mean, to do everything? It means that everything that Satan throws at you or tries to do to you, you can deal with. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. I'm not going to read all of these, but I want you to read them as we go through them. There are some more. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's evil schemes. Ephesians 6:10-17. Now, here are short and quick scriptures that you need to memorize when you are tempted. Pull one of these out of your mind. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or James 4:7. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Matthew 16:33. Get behind me, Satan. And 1 John 4:4. For the one who is in me, the Holy Spirit, is greater than the one who is in the world, Satan. Now, very quickly, there are three basic preventatives to temptation. God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. Secondly, is the Word of God, the Bible. Thirdly, internal resolve. Now, don't leave me. I want you to stay with me on this. Don't leave me on that last one, internal resolve. Self-control, willpower, and determination. The internal resolve of self-control, willpower, and determination. But all of these things are influenced tremendously by our background, our training, our education, and experiences. Which means we can make mistakes. We can falter. We can fumble. We can learn. We can train. We can vacillate. But we can also discover new and different ways of doing things. Now, I'm going to read next something that deals with internal resolve. Listen carefully to this. A number of decades ago, and you children, listen to this carefully. Really listen to this. And parents, you listen to this. Several decades ago, a famous experiment, a Stanford psychologist, Walter Mischel, left children individually, alone, in a room, with a marshmallow on a table, and the following instructions. Now, you can have two marshmallows if you wait till I come back. But if you want only one marshmallow, you eat it whenever you want to. Okay? As the years passed, the researcher followed up these children, and he found that those who had withstood temptation had remarkably different lives from the others. The children who had managed to hold out the entire 15 minutes went on to score 210 points higher on the SAT. That's the entrance exam to get into college. But self-control is a difficult concept for many to grasp, because as humans, we are inclined to act on our emotions and desire for instant gratification rather than doing what will be the best for us in the long run. This can entail indulging in our compulsivity, in addictions, obsessions, irrationality, and other self-destructive behaviors. From overeating, procrastinating, impulsive buys, abusive relationships, and drug use and alcohol use. Self-control. You realize the word self-control is used over 15 times in the scriptures. Self-control can be defined as a combination of will, commitment, courage, and taking responsibility. The first step in developing self-control is to pinpoint the exact areas of your life where you feel like you lack it the most. These areas may be relationships, eating, alcohol, gambling, and so on. Folks, we are living in the last days. We cannot do anything other than believe the scriptures. We don't know how the definition of last days really comes about, but we are living in last days. Listen closely to 2 Timothy 3, 1-5. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, forgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with these people. That's a scripture verse. 2 Timothy 1-5. Now listen carefully. Self-control is part of our spirituality, as well as part of our physical, psychological, and mental status. There will be terrible days ahead of us. We do not yet know what terrible means, except what we read about. Listen to Galatians 5, 22-23. Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and
self-control.
That's right. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. We must remember that our bodies, over which we think we have control, need to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. Now, what I have done so far today, you may think I'm done, but I'm not. What I've done so far is a kind of mini sermon. But I'm going to switch gears now and go to a biblical drama, which is in the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Gethsemane. It's all started in the Garden of Eden, but this is in the Garden of Gethsemane. I need a Peter, James, and John, and a Jesus. And we're going to go to the scriptures of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, for they all have a version of what happened that night after the supper in the upper room, when Jesus went out to pray in the garden, and he took the disciples with him for support. We're going to put these verses on the screen. I want you to read them. And I'd like for Peter and James to come up here and sit on the chairs. And I'd like this other chair that is not out yet for Jesus to come up on the chair. All right? We have here Peter. Take that off and put it over on the table. Put this. Jesus, you can take this other chair and put it out there. James, come on up. That's you, Maurice. Well, I want you to look carefully, listen carefully, read carefully what you see. Jesus went to the garden and three times, he went a stone's throw away from the disciples. Matthew, Mark, and Luke each give a report. Each one gives a slightly different report. Watch. What I'm going to do. I'm sorry? Okay. The words of Jesus are in red. Read those. I'm going to read these quickly. Jesus said, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him. John is not here today. And they began to be sorrowful. Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you not watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." And he went away the second time and then prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." And then he returned, came back and said, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise and let us go. Here comes my betrayer." Mark 14. Jesus said, "Sit here while I pray." And he said, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." He returned a third time, and he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough! The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Come here. Here comes my betrayer." And then from Luke, this is the only one, the only scripture which says at the end, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground, as Patrick read this morning for our communion. And when he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." Dear ones, there are many thoughts, many feelings, and many plans, perhaps, that are not recorded in any of that. What might have been some of those thoughts, some of those even decisions? I'm going to ask Peter and James a few questions here. Peter, what were some of the things going on in your mind that were not expressed by Jesus?
Well, I think that Jesus was thinking so far ahead of me that I didn't realize what was going to happen.
Were you unaware that he was going to be betrayed by one of our group?
Well, I was not aware, but I just didn't expect it to happen.
What did you think was going to happen in the next 2, 3, or 4 hours?
I don't know what was going to happen. I was unaware that there was something special happening.
Do you have any regrets?
I do.
What are your regrets?
I wish I would have stayed away and prayed like I was told.
Why couldn't you stay awake?
I was too tired.
Too
tired?
Well, let me ask James. Do you have any regrets from that night?
You know, from the time you hit Jerusalem on that donkey, and the people were pushing and pulling, and we were trying to keep them away, and they were throwing things in the road, and we were trying to keep them stumbling, trying to keep the donkey from stumbling. And then you went into the temple and started tossing those tables around, and those people stuck all over the place. Do you know they're still over there scratching around trying to find the coins and the cracks of that?
Hey, James, I want you to stay with the night that Jesus prayed and left you disciples to watch and pray. Why could you not watch and pray like he asked you to?
We had been scratching almost all night long for a whole week. And I guess we were just tired. Nothing had happened that we could see. And so we were tired of watching. And we didn't understand the severity. We didn't understand what she was going through.
What would you do differently if you had that to do over again?
Well, have the other guy slap me on the head, say, wake up. But everybody went to sleep. So nobody was watching anybody.
So are you putting the responsibility on the rest of them?
No.
What would you, James, resolve to do from your own thinking and your own feelings, instead of putting the blame on the other disciples?
Oh, I don't think it's been blamed, but we certainly would need to be more aware. And I would have tried to stay awake. But like I said, if we'd have known how serious the situation, how fast it was coming, just like he said, how fast it was coming on us, we didn't understand that this was the night.
Were you aware that Judas, who was one of the 12, was going to betray Jesus with a kiss?
No, we weren't aware of that. We were aware that Jesus had gone out away from us, but how he was going to betray Jesus, we did not know that.
Do you feel that Jesus was resentful because he couldn't stay away when he said, watch and pray?
He was disappointed. I don't think he was resentful. Mankind had disappointed his father and had disappointed him so many times. I don't think he was surprised, resentful, but he was disappointed, I'm sure.
We're going to switch to Jesus now and ask a few questions of Jesus. What were your feelings about the disciples sleeping when you told them to watch and pray?
Well, I haven't been with them for such a long period of time. I knew that they were human. I knew that I was fully God, fully human, and fully God as well. And the things that I had taught them, I was hoping would give them spiritual eyes to watch instead of just physical eyes. And I was also hoping that they would, as I stay close to my Father, to do His will. In my flesh, I didn't want to have it happen. I prayed that, Lord, to my God in heaven, if it be your will, take it away from me. But also, overriding all that, let me do your will. And so, I was certainly wishing that they would have watched and prayed and been aware that time was short, that time itself should be spent watching and praying as to how to be ready in their own hearts, in their own minds, to the Son of Man being betrayed, as I had told them before.
Did you feel resentment because they didn't do what you told them to do?
I didn't feel resentment because I knew them. So it wasn't resentment. It was
the will of God that I wanted to do, and that's been my meat and my...
Were you disappointed in the disciples?
A little bit.
A little bit?
Yeah.
Or maybe a whole lot?
Well...
Or did you feel that for them to watch and pray was something that was beyond what they could do?
No, I never thought it was beyond something they could do, because they knew that nothing was impossible with God. I think they forgot. I think that they didn't understand the gravity of the situation, and that again they had their eyes, their spiritual eyes, on the flesh and the world, and quite frankly, they were fighting temptation themselves to not do what the devil would have them do.
Do you feel that the devil, Satan, was in that mix?
I feel that he had influence upon that circumstance. But I also feel that my Father in heaven was watching out after everything and was ultimately in control of everything. As I said earlier, though you slay me, still I will praise you. And so it was... So yes, there was some influence there.
Those thoughts were reassuring to you of the promises of your Father,
right,
and what was happening.
Exactly. So, what was happening, you're asking me? Yes. During the prayers in Gethsemane, where, as it's written, great drops of blood were spilled, there was great gravity and love to be able to go through whatever it took for my disciples and for the world, knowing that, as even as Patrick had talked before, that regardless of how horrendous the sin was, I knew that I had to do what it took to be the sacrifice for the sins of the world. And so I was willing to do whatever it took, because I knew and saw the light at the end of the tunnel, you might say. And that was to do the will of the Father.
In closing, what would you like to say to Peter and James, who are here with us?
The 20th century, right? Or is it the 21st?
You choose.
Get an alarm clock. An internal alarm clock that says the time is short, and then we need to be ready. And to watch with spiritual eyes, and to pray to God in heaven that His will be done, not our flesh, and not the world, and certainly not the wiles of Satan.
Amen. Amen. We're going to conclude this service now with a prayer that was written by Dr. Evans, who is one of the forerunners of the country of Israel. I want you to listen, but close your eyes, because it's a prayer. And go along with it in your own mind if you can affirm what is being read here. This is a declaration of war against Satan. We command you, you fallen principalities and powers that murdered the Lamb of God, that Jesus' death on the cross was not the end. It was just the beginning. Because through his suffering, he has gloriously defeated principalities and powers. Through the power of his name and the power of his blood, we command you, you fallen spirits who are assigned to murder God's people, to be bound in the mighty name of Jesus. We declare that every one of you, evil spirits, principalities, and powers, are rendered ineffective. Through the work of the cross and the blood of the Lamb and the mighty name of Jesus, you will cease and desist from your assignments. The blood of Jesus rebukes you. The God of Israel rebukes you. We declare that our God is sending angel armies to do battle against you, fallen demons. We decree in the mighty name of Jesus that you will take your hands off of our people. We will be restored. We will not fight with flesh and blood, but we declare that we will fight utilizing the whole armor of God in this war, in the battle against rulers, against the authorities, the powers of the dark world, and spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We put on the full armor of God with the belt of truth buckled around our waist, with the blessed breastplate of righteousness in place, and with our feet fitted for the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And in addition, we take up the shield of faith, and we declare that we extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. We take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. All of your powers, Satan, are rendered ineffective. You will surrender and submit to the mighty name of Jesus, and you will surrender quickly, and all heaven will testify of your defeat through the power of our prayer of agreement. Now, Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, for your power. We thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you, Lord, that we have memories from reading the scriptures about what all you can do for us, what all you have done for us, and what all will become with us and for us and to us as we become overcomers in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for each one who is here in this little building. I pray for any requests that may be unspoken, for unsaved loved ones, for unsaved neighbors. And Lord, I pray that you will give power and strength through your Holy Spirit and through the Word of God. Now, Lord, dismiss us with your blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.